Welcome to the Asylum. And now, your hosts, Rick Flieger and Rick Riggs.
Welcome to the Asylum Fantasy Sports Show, now a proud member of the Full-Time Fantasy Podcast Network. Check out this and countless other great fantasy sports podcasts over at fulltimefantasy.com. And, of course, on the tweeters at Fulltime Fantasy. And, as always, you can follow the Asylum of AsylumFantasySports.com, at Asylum Football on Twitter. And if you want to be a part of the show, ask any questions, tell Briggs off, whatever you want to do, AsylumFootball@gmail.com. Rick, draft season is upon us. Head on over to FulltimeFantasy.com to participate in the free Best Ball World Championships, $35 starter leagues, the $299 online championship with a $50,000 grand prize. That's even big money to somebody as opulent as Rick Briggs. And, of course, the 8th annual World Championship out in Las Vegas, Rick. Take what you learn here and on this network and turn it into some real cash, fulltimefantasy.com.
That is absolutely correct. We are Flieger and Briggs. This is the Asylum Sports Show right here on the Full-Time Fantasy Podcast Network. And like you said, Rick, it is draft season now. Training camps here. The casualties are already starting to mount up. And a lot to talk about just injury-wise.
Yeah. We could do a whole show on that. We'll pick and choose the highlights with the holdouts, the injuries, the scary. And I don't think you can go anywhere, Rick, without having the Ezekiel Elliott conversation, who, while the Cowboys are in training camp, he's in Cabo looking for that new contract. Jerry Jones getting a little bit chesty right now, saying you don't need the number one running back to win a championship. This one feels different to me, Rick. We'll talk about Melvin Gordon next. By and large, I tend to agree. But Ezekiel Elliott and this Cowboys team, this feels like a different case to me where this team's in big trouble if they don't get something worked out with Zeke.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, in most cases, you would agree. But in most cases, you don't have Ezekiel Elliott for a running back, which accounts for probably 40% of your offense. I mean, this guy's special, and I don't know what the details are, what he's looking for, but
he wants Todd Gurley money. And with everything going on with Todd Gurley, you can understand the reticence of the Cowboys, right? But
right. You're not going to get Todd Gurley money, but you would think that Jerry Jones, in this crucial time of the year, which is training camp, they should be talking with Elliott's agent. Counter, throw something out there. And
well, I'd
see
like to assume they're doing that. I mean, some are claiming there are no talks. But
well, do you? I mean, when you come out and say, well, you know, you don't need a great running back to win a Super Bowl. You know, are they talking? We don't really know. And that's the concerning part in my mind. Because Ezekiel Elliott, we talked about this in previous shows. This isn't Melvin Gordon.
No.
Where the Chargers, I think, although their chances diminish somewhat, I still think that they are a legitimate contender without Melvin Gordon. You take Zeke Elliott off of the Cowboys, I don't even know if they contend for the division.
No, and that's the thing. He's such a special player. But Melvin Gordon, there's a lot of running backs who are special players. The difference is the importance of Ezekiel Elliott to that Cowboys offense, the way that offense is built. Look, Dak Prescott needs to get paid too. Dak Prescott is not, in terms of a top 10 quarterback in this league. This is a build around his abilities, limited as they may be, in my opinion, the offensive line, and Ezekiel Elliott. Everything runs through him. So, in general, the way the league is going, yes, the running back, having the star running back is nowhere near as important as we once thought it was. The analytics of the whole thing, right, say you're better off throwing it 60 times, even if you get picked off 3 or 4 times, analytically, you're still better off throwing a ball. But that's not how this team is built. So, taking this hard, like, now look, I get it. Zeke's got 2 years left on his contract. I just wonder if this is a delay tactic, you know, honestly. I just can't anticipate. Look, Jerry Jones has played this game before. What was it, about 25, 30 years ago? He played this game with Emmitt Smith. Emmitt Smith holds out, was it two games or three? I think it was only two. Two games, they go 0-2, get their teeth kicked in. All of a sudden, Jerry said, all right, well, maybe we'll go ahead and pay Emmitt, and they go on to win a Super Bowl. This is the way that team is built. You have got to have Ezekiel Elliott. You bring in Alfred Morris, that's going to solve the problem.
Right.
Look, he's a nice guy and a good running back for a lot of years in the NFL. Come on now. Just come on. Dak Prescott isn't that dude, even with Amari Cooper down there, that's going to lead that offense to do what they need to do with just another guy at running back. This has to get done, and that's why the fact that it has to, I'm probably less worried about this than a lot of other folks, because Jerry Jones knows it, Zeke knows it, everybody in the Cowboys organization, everybody knows this has to get done,
or
you're going to win six games this year.
Exactly. Excuse me. You're talking about Alfred Morris coming. You know, in perspective, if you were a Cowboy fan or a fantasy fan, whatever, and I told you, well, we're going to replace Ezekiel Elliott with T.J. Yeldon, how excited about that are you?
Not very.
Right. Yeah. I mean, this is where you're at right now. And they have to get this done. You're absolutely right. And it's kind of funny when the owner comes out and says you don't need a great running back to win a Super Bowl, when in fact the Super Bowls they won, they had Emmitt Smith.
Yeah,
you had the all-time leading rusher on your football
team. By the numbers,
team.
The greatest of all time. That's very debatable, I get you, but by the numbers, the greatest of all time.
Well, in the conversation, you're splitting hairs at that. You know, when you're talking about that. But, yes, you have a great running back on your squad when you won those Super Bowls. And I dare say, how many Super Bowl-winning teams weren't near the top of the league in rushing? Now, you think, okay, well, the Patriots. Guess what? They ran the football a ton.
Yeah, I'm wondering.
New Orleans runs the football a ton.
Yeah, I'm wondering collectively what their Patriots number look like, what their final that's a lot of research, what their final, you know, RB ranking was in the years they won those. But look, all of it aside, here's the bottom line. Again, it's just the way that team's built. And you look at what else is there. Dak Prescott. Yeah, very hot button guy. Right? Look, he's a good quarterback. He's a good NFL quarterback, but he's not the put the offense on my shoulder, lead the charge, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger, Phil Rivers type of guy. He's not that guy. He's perfect for that offense, I believe. I like Dak Prescott a lot, but he's not going to lead that team to a Super Bowl. After Ezekiel Elliott, you know, a lot of people talking, you know, the buzz in the fantasy communities around Tony Pollard. You know, really? Tony Pollard may. He ain't Z. He may be fine. He'll be an RB2 in fantasy if Zeke holds out for the year, maybe even a high-end RB2, but he ain't going to be Zeke. Amari Cooper, great. Then what? Michael Gallup, Randall Cobb, Jason Witten, who's a week and a half older than you. I mean, this offense is built around Zeke, so it just feels like a game of chicken. Zeke's going to get a couple more weeks of vacation down there in Cabo. Jerry's going to puff his chest out, and he's going to send his son to the Wolves. You know, he'll get the deal done and then send his son out there to look like the idiot, you know, when Jerry was trying to – I could be dead wrong. I just don't see how, if you're the Cowboys, you can let this happen. You're going to have to overpay and take that cap hit. You have to.
Yeah, I agree. And there's just no choice in the matter if they want to stay competitive, and it's just as simple as that. By the way, the Patriots just last year were fifth in the NFL in rushing.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, Sony Michel and James White kind of split the duties, but it was basically Sony Michel's gig. And they run the football a lot.
Right.
And the Dallas Cowboys are going to have to run the football a lot, or they're not going to win, like you said, I don't think over five or six games.
Now, on the other hand, you head to L.A., you head to the Chargers. As a fantasy owner, I'm nervous about Melvin Gordon. Because I don't think he has the leverage, anywhere near the leverage, that an Ezekiel Elliott has. You've got good backs behind him. Eckler, who's had some success. Jackson, who has had some success in Gordon's absence. You have that guy who can put an offense on his shoulders in Phillip Rivers. You have a strong tight end core. You have a strong wide receiver core. I think Gordon – he's the best of the bunch, but I think you can plug Jackson in there. I think Eckler stays in his role as the change of pace is the other guy. I think Jackson come in there and produce at close to or near, if not the same, as a Melvin Gordon would. So if Melvin Gordon's taking a hard line, I almost anticipate a Le'Veon Bell situation here with Melvin Gordon.
You know, you look back at 2018, Melvin Gordon had less than 70 more carries than Austin Eckler did last year.
Right.
He had 69 more attempts. He had a 5.1 rushing average. Eckler had a 5.2. I'm not saying he's as good as Gordon, but they're not going in the tank like Dallas is.
Now that's
number
it.
One, Gordon's not Ezekiel Elliott, and Austin Eckler isn't Alfred Morris. Okay?
Right, yeah. Now, that said, Eckler, I believe, averaged less than 3 yards a carry in the four games Melvin Gordon was out. It was Josh Jackson who put up the number. I think the point being, Eckler needs to be that change of pace guy. You're just not going to install him. All right, Austin Eckler's now our number one running back.
Right.
He needs to be the other dude. But they can move the ball in that role. Eckler is great. Jackson is just fine. So, again, it feels like you haven't heard much recently from Melvin Gordon. He's taken a hard line. I'm going to get paid. If I'm the Chargers, I don't think I do it. I hate to say that. I'm all for all of these guys getting paid. I don't think I do it.
Well, I would pay Melvin Gordon, but not what Melvin Gordon thinks he's going to get.
Oh, no, absolutely.
I mean, I would say, okay, let's
pay him in the top five running backs of the league right now.
Yeah, let's sit down and let's be reasonable, Melvin, because this is what it is, and this is where you stand, and – if you want to compare stats, we can do that too. But, we have to be reasonable as well. I mean, you have Phillip Rivers, who, like you said, needs to get paid. Keenan Allen needs to get paid. And there's a lot of other guys on that team that need to get paid as well.
Right.
So, Melvin Gordon, I think, really needs to take a step back.
He doesn't have a lot of leverage here, I don't. Not with the Chargers.
I don't think so.
Now, I think that his deal's different, his service time. I get the impression he can sit out the entire year and still become a free agent. It was so convoluted. I tried to jot it down so we could discuss. I didn't even understand it. But his situation's very different than like an Elliott's, even on that side of things. You know what angered me the most about this? When asked about it and Phillip Rivers made those comments that essentially equated to, we'd love to have Melvin here, but we're pretty good with who we have in the room. And everybody losing their mind. Oh, see, Melvin Gordon, Phil Rivers won't go to bad, or Phil Rivers is a bad, union brother and a bad teammate. What did you expect Phillip Rivers to say? Oh, yeah, we're screwed.
We won't win a game. We're not capable.
I'm just going to go make another baby and not even play because this is worth it. What's a guy supposed to say? And you know what? It's the truth. They are okay without him. They're not as good without him, but they're just fine offensively. They'll find way. But what did you expect the dude to say?
I agree. And this contract thing – I actually had a little conversation on Twitter with J.J. Zacharyson about this. And if I understood him correctly, he had a better grasp of it. He's already got 4 years service in.
Right.
So basically, this is an option year. So as far as time goes, I think Gordon actually has leverage that way because it's an option year. But I think that's basically it.
But we saw that was worthless, right, with Le'Veon Bell. The thought was he wasn't going to sit out all year because he wouldn't get a year credited towards his free agency, and they'd have to do it again. And somehow, remember that changed about week 10?
Right.
Nobody knew where it came from or understood
why. Right, but
why.
I think point being is that it is an option
year. Gordon definitely has his service time in. Yeah,
exactly.
So he has that leverage, so he can sit out the year, be a free agent, go wherever he wants next year. But you're probably going to find he's going to find the market soft like Le'Veon Bell did.
Exactly. I agree.
As I smack my microphone around. So I had on the prep sheet, Rick, that Michael Thomas still holding out, but hallelujah, he got that deal done this morning. 5 years, $100 million, the first non-QB to get $100 million on that.
And I already see Julio Jones doing a river dance backwards in his garage.
And Julio is always unhappy with his contract, and I can just hear Mr. Big Chest out there in Oakland calling his agent now saying, wait a minute.
Oh, yeah, what's going on here?
Hold up.
I'm on this crummy team, and now I'm not the highest paid guy. What's going on? Do your job.
So saddened, but huge, huge for the Saints. I had no doubt that was they weren't far apart to begin with. I thought, you know, his line was always $20 million, and at one point I heard the Saints were coming in between 18 and 19.
Right.
With the lack of other at least name brand pieces they have at that position in New Orleans, there was never any doubt this was getting done. But thankfully,
$61 million guaranteed. And, yeah, I mean, it's unprecedented. And, of course, I don't know. I just don't know what Atlanta's going to do with Julio Jones or how Julio Jones is going to handle it.
You wonder. I hadn't thought about that. That's an excellent point. Did you know, and I wasn't aware of this, in his first 3 years in the league, Michael Thomas – has the most receptions in the first 3 years of an NFL career. Now, that's not as impressive because
right. What
it is now, you got to throw out anybody from 2004 back, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That aren't going to have those opportunities. But to put it in perspective, he is the number one, and he's clear of second place by almost 40 receptions
right. In
3 years. It is amazing what this kid has done.
Exactly.
And just for fun, to take a stab at all the people I hate, Rick, who do you think's number two on that list? There's your clue. I'm taking a stab at fantasy pundits that I hate. There's your clue.
Oh, Jarvis Landry.
Jarvis Landry. I was stunned to see him at number the worst fantasy wide receiver ever to live. Jarvis Landry, if you draft him, we will mock you. We will dox you. We will take you out. He's number two on that list.
And I'll take the –
but Michael Thomas, almost 40 receptions clear of him on that list.
I will take the spearing every time on Jarvis Landry. Absolutely. Just like we did – on C.J. Spiller. I mean, we took punches in the face that.
We probably lost 15% of our audience for saying, pump the brakes here a little bit.
Yeah.
Hold on. It was ugly there.
It was an ugly year until we got to about week 10.
Yeah. Oh, hold on. You might have been
what
right.
do you know?
Well, then it was never, you know, I was wrong, you were right. Look, you're still an idiot. All the numbers said this. This is something.
Everything indicated he was going to be a superstar.
All right, we'll do a little rapid fire here. Tyreek Hill carted off the field during Tuesday's practice. It looks like it's just
a bruised quad.
No big deal. Everybody losing their mind. This is a biggie, Rick. A.J. Green expected to miss up to 3 to 4 regular season games, having surgery from a torn ligament in his left ankle. What do you do with A.J. Green?
I'll tell you what.
You're going to get him in a deal.
How much
of a deal do you got to get?
There's not a lot of Bengals that I am going to be touching for the prices they're going for. Joe Mixon included. I mean, I love Joe Mixon. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, we just talked about A.J. Green going down. John Ross is gone. But more importantly, center Billy Price, IR, PUP list. Unspecified ailment, uncertain how much time he's going to need to heal. Guard Alex Redmond suspended the first 4 games. And you got tackle Jonah Williams, shoulder. He's coming back from that shoulder injury on the torn labrum. They're moving him around from left to right tackle, et cetera. I mean, this is a piecemeal offensive line.
Right.
A.J. Green's out. John Ross is out. Not that that's a huge deal there, but, I mean, depth at the wide receiver position. What do you think defenses are looking at? Let's stop Joe Mixon.
Yeah, we're going to take Joe Mixon away. I think who will still have success, who I will pay a premium for, will be Tyler Boyd.
Yeah.
And we saw in the absence of A.J. Green where he can really shine. I saw flashes on him, and what I got to see so many times, it's so rare we get to see good football players, you know, other than James Conner recently,
right. In
Tyler Boyd when he was at Pitt, to where when he's kind of the focus of the offense, that's when he thrives, right? Getting him the ball in different situations in different ways. I think with A.J. Green out, I think Boyd does really rise to the top because I agree. Whether or not they can remains to be seen. I think Joe Mixon is special. I think he's still – I don't think he – performs to the level a lot of folks are expecting, but he's still
maybe
not at his price, but he's still a good running back, a great fantasy running back. But Tyler, you know, you load up on them, you have nobody else of any value at the receiver position. You know, the tight ends always hurt, so you know it's Tyler Boyd. You're going to find ways to get a kid like him the ball.
That's one issue that I am praying to the football gods. Let me see what Tyler Eifert can do for 16 games. healthy. I would love to see
14, 15 touchdowns.
I would love to see what this guy could do because he is a difference maker talent-wise on an offense that's already banged up and needs a lot of help.
I mean, he's essentially on a touchdown-a-game pace when he plays. It's just, unfortunately, he plays so infrequently. So what of A.J. Green? Obviously, you're going to get a whale of a deal on him, right? Is it even worth touching? Does he come back?
Is he a whale of a deal? That's the thing.
Well, that's, I guess.
What is a whale of a deal?
Comparatively to what he was this time last week,
exactly.
It's a whale of a deal.
I'm looking late fifth, early sixth on this guy. Right, as things stand, he's saying, "Well, I may play week one." You're not playing week one.
No,
you just had surgery on torn ligaments.
Right. Yeah, and that's a long road back. And look, he's getting a little older. You know, this is not something. It's something I kind
of
always
with
liked.
A history of foot and ankle problems for years.
Yeah, a recent history more than anything. And so, yeah, look, if he really tumbles, you never leave that lane. I don't anticipate him coming back and, frankly, having much of it. Doesn't this feel like something you come back from a week or two too soon and you keep re-aggravating it, it keeps nagging you? Even if you can get on the field, boy, it's just something that kind of sticks around, and it's almost a full calendar year for it's completely right.
The dreaded soft tissues, man.
Right.
It's not a broken toe or a broken thumb or dislocated shoulder or whatever. It's torn soft tissues that are always moving, and even if they're repaired, look, you had that torn up knee.
Right.
You know how long it was.
I'm still not right.
You never will be, I'm sure. This could be – A.J. Green could be one of these guys that goes from superstar to out of the league in no time.
It could be.
I really believe he's on that road. I hate to see it because he's a great talent, but the last few years, what was it, dislocate a big toe or something like that.
It
was had turf toe that was hampering him. He had foot and ankle issues the last couple of years. And he's not getting any younger.
Yeah, it's just this feels like especially for this year. Look, I mean, if he's hanging around in the 10th, 11th round, which he's not going to be, I'll snatch him. I expect nothing from A.J. Green this year. I think he comes back. It takes him a while to get back in the swing. He re-aggravates it. He has his ups and downs with it. You know, it's kind of the thing, although he does feel like he'd be the one that at the end of the year you say, oh, crap, if I'd have played A.J. Green, I'd have won the championship because he's finally going to get right mid-December and he's going to have that 1-9-catch, 140-yard
performance.
But I think that's where he's at. He's basically on the
But we're going to be getting into probably in a couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks, once we're through training camp. You and I are the more common-sense predictors. You know, I don't like to put out, well, the Jets are going 4-12 in April because you have no idea what these teams. I'll tell you what, though, just looking right now, Cincinnati, right now, that's a three win team.
Yeah.
I'm looking. They are just banged up. They're not very good as it is. And I tell you what, as much as you like Joe Mixon, they better have something else in that offense to play with.
Right, exactly. So just a couple more here. Golden Tate appealing a 4-game suspension due to PEDs. Appeal claiming it was part of a fertility treatment. He discovered it, ceased use right away, and reported it right away. Think the league owes him any mercy on that? I'm torn on that one.
Look, we just saw what the league did with Tyreek Hill.
Well, that in that context, it makes it absurd.
Lord Goodell may increase it to 6 games for all I know. You don't have a clue.
No.
I really have no idea. And when it comes to this kind of thing, I don't look for leniency at all.
No.
They seem to take this hard line on something stupid when you have very serious charges.
Right.
Kind of glossed over because they don't want to damage the shield.
Well, that
they don't want
about
this kind of mess. You know, Rick, you were smoking dope. You're out of here for 3 games. You know, because you were at the house watching. But you tested positive,
right? Right.
You know, so you're done. You know, we don't tolerate this kind of nonsense. But this is a little messy. They don't want to bring this up a whole lot.
And that's the problem, right? And in a way, I get it, right? You start making exceptions, then it gets real muddled. So they're trying to take the hard line stance. These are the banned substances. If you take these banned substances, you are suspended this amount of time. However, you spend all the time. You've got entire groups of people employed to do things like this. If this could be proven true, which I assume it can, then isn't there room even in a CBA for some common sense? If this is true, you know, I get it. You're an NFL football player. You've got to be aware of every substance and every sub-substance and every sub-sub-substance, that goes into your body. But come on, you're at the fertility doctor. They say, take this, and then you'll get this desired result. You do it, then you get to looking at it. Oh, man, this is bad. And then you self-report, and there's no room for leniency. You can't give – maybe you give them a game to prove a point, you know, that you got to be more careful. But four games – if this is true, four games for that is ridiculous. It's absolutely absurd.
Do you know what the substance is? Because
I'm
idea.
I'm way too stupid to understand it. But it was just a component of whatever this fertility drug is. Probably
I don't know if I believe him or not. I have no idea.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. It could all be jive, and you know, he's playing us. But if it's that, come on, wake up. So from the ridiculous to the absolutely absurd, Rick. Last story I have. I'm sure you see this. I don't know if this makes me laugh or infuriates me. I don't know what to make of it. Roger Goodell and three of the officials from the NFC Championship game are set to be deposed as part of the ongoing Louisiana State lawsuit brought forth by Saints superfan who's seeking $75,000 in damages that he promises will be donated to charity. How is this? There's been federal lawsuits that have been dismissed. How is – well, maybe I'm answering my own question. How is Louisiana allowing this to go forth? How? How?
Because number one, they don't like the loss that they took, obviously. Number two, and more importantly, is it's kind of like hockey or any other sport. You get a bad call on you, and it's proven it's a bad call. It might get a little better one later on down the line, just to kind of make up for it.
But a lawsuit?
They're not going to win it.
Well, no.
They're not going
to
win it.
No, all they're doing is they're trying to, you know, now, you know, we get where we're actually going to we call for Roger Goodell to be deposed. He's not going to go to this. So, all right, it's $75,000 to a multi-billion-dollar organization.
Roger Goodell, yeah, it doesn't matter.
We're trying to get him to offer us $50,000 to go away. But this can't be allowed to go on. This is – look, the call, we talked about it ad nauseum when it happened. But come on.
No,
we can't open it up to this.
It's the state of the world, Rick. I mean, it's
– that's kind of where I'm going.
Somebody bumps their head into McDonald's and they sue McDonald's because they weren't looking where they were going.
Right.
You should have had a sign there telling me there was a wall there. And some idiot lawyer will take the case because if we get a percentage of even half of it, fine. We don't care. It's not justice. It's money. It's like everything else. You follow the cash. And that's what it's all about.
I think it's just about sour grapes.
Of course it's sour grapes. And that's what it goes back to what I was saying. Yeah, I mean, they may get a break later on in an important game. Yes, you will.
So you think a referee is going into the Superdome and is going to have in the back of his head, if I botch this call, I'm going to get sued? So even subtly, I'm going to lean towards the same.
Not saying sued. But I'm telling you what, one thing, I mean, like they really have to do it with Drew Brees anyway, but somebody lays a hand on him in a playoff game on a 4th-and-2 or something, the laundry will come flying, something of that nature. Just a little more leniency.
No.
Bull. Yes, it will.
How? In what
way? What do you mean how?
Billion-dollar
machine.
No. Where that works is in the moment when the – the coach is wearing the referee out, and eventually, you know, now it sort of puts something in your mind. This lawsuit, other than being that this fat nobody who is suing the NFL for 75, because as a super fan and a season ticket holder, the NFL owes a duty to a well choreographed and well refereed. Shut up, eat another kibasi, and die, as far as I'm concerned.
No, I'm not.
But to think that this guy can rent any space in Roger Goodell or NFL officials' heads because of this. I almost cursed because of this crap is nonsense. No, if anything, if I'm the referees, I'm going to say, all right, you want to start suing people? Watch this. Watch this. If I'm spiteful. I don't think a professional referee would do that. They're getting nothing out of this other than this guy looking like a clown and all the losers out there who hate Roger Goodell fist pumping and waving their asses in the air saying, good, now Goodell has to answer. Are you kidding me with this? Get this crap out of here.
That's all the more reason what I'm saying, Rick. No, this clown's not going to get anything. He's going to get his 10 minutes of fame, and he's gone.
He doesn't even have that, other than being called a fat loser on the Asylum show. I don't even know if he's fat. I just think it's a safe assumption.
No, I'd like to know who it is. That would be great.
Well, they give his name. We could probably look him up, but he's not important enough. I'm not even giving him that amount of shine. I'm just assuming.
Not even on Google.
I'm picturing him with a natty light in his left hand, bratwurst in the other, and his gut hanging down past his knees saying, Roger Goodell owes me. I should have gone to the Super Bowl. Shut up. He's probably 24 in good shape and a billionaire or something. But
probably.
I choose not
to used to play or something.
I choose not to picture him that way.
We have to picture them slovenly like we are.
Yeah, I like to bring people to my level, essentially, is what it comes down to.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, I understand what you're saying. No, he's not getting anything. I'm just saying that's how things work, even at the subconscious level. And it does. I mean, and it will.
But there is, on a serious note, and I think that's why the federal courts throw them out, but even at the state level, you got to be careful in the legal arena with setting precedent, right?
Yeah.
If they let this go on and go, it'll never go to trial, but see, you keep entertaining this, you know, even as the judge or the court, whoever's making this decision to let it go on because you're still pissed off about that call too. You're setting this precedent. Now, every time there's a game-changing bad call, and it happens twice a week, every year, and we allow season ticket holders and fan bases to sue the league because of the
– right.
You got to be a little bit careful with it. At some point, somebody's going to say, hold on a minute.
Yeah.
Eat another bratwurst and shut up. You know, how about we do that? When you come to our games, we owe you this. A game – and safety at the game. Beyond that, you've gotten what you're paid for. Whatever else happens on the field is none of your damn business. Take a hike. That's what we got to do.
I agree.
All right, you got anything else?
Oh, we got tons of stuff.
Well,
nothing.
Before we get into burning questions, do you have anything further?
No, well, I do have a nice story that I'll save for later.
Oh, all right. Well,
because we always like our nice stories to wrap up a fantastic show.
Fantastic show. All right. Well, we are going to start what will, I believe, be a three-part series, Mr. Briggs, in burning questions at the running back, wide receiver, and quarterback positions in succession or thereabouts.
Yep.
Subject to change, of course, lest this fat slob try to sue us as well. We're going to start with the running back.
Good luck, pal. You're not getting anything. You're going to get a couple set of headphones and maybe a beer.
Hey, we're putting significant investments back into this studio. We've got some new equipment coming. This thing's going to sound even better next week, I guarantee it. Or it won't come out if I can't figure out all this new fancy equipment, one or the other. So it's either going to sound really good next week when we do the wide receiver burning questions, or this is the last show and thanks for listening. I'm not sure which.
What will happen is I'll come in next week and I'll say, Rick, what's up?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Cursing and storming around. We've had a few of those weeks. So
I tell you what, you know, Studio B is ramping up. I mean, it is looking good. And we will go video sooner or later.
Are you handy?
Yeah.
See, because I'm a loser. I can't do anything.
Right. I mean, handy in what?
To, like, build things.
It's somewhat, yeah.
This is probably something we should do off the air, but what do I care? You know what I'm thinking? You know, we do need to go video. Most folks on the full-time fantasy podcast network have a video component to their shows. What I'm thinking is we kind of have just a traditional table, right? We use it as the console. Do you think we could build a console. Well, I can't build crap, but I could hand you nails and cut boards.
Sure.
And we could build a console.
Yeah.
Because I think maybe a V-shaped console.
Yeah,
we
could certainly build one of them. And you know, even if it looks ridiculous, we can cover it with something as long as it's got this basic shape. And, yeah, we can certainly do that.
I just don't have the ability to do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got tools, too. I got tons of
tools. I have tools. I don't know how to use most of them.
Okay.
But I usually start projects, curse, fit, throw the tools, and then call a professional.
Yeah.
I blame my father and my grandfather.
Well, your father's an electrician. I think he's very handy.
He's very handy. My grandfather was a contractor. I mean, my family is full of people who can do this. So you'd think I'd be able to do it, right?
Yeah.
It's probably me being sounding like a millennial, but it's true. My whole life growing up, because they were such experts at what they did, my job was hand me the tools, get out of the way, put that down, what are you doing? You're doing it wrong. So I never learned how to do anything but drive to the lumber yard, drive back, drive to McDonald's, pick up lunch, drive back, clean up the mess, put that down, hand me that tool, get me that. So I don't know how to do anything.
Yeah, that's the unfortunately, that's the curse of being the young one, you know. Go do this, go do that. But, no, we can definitely do that, and we will – I'd like to be video before the season's over, quite frankly. Whether it'll happen or not, probably not.
Well, we've only been talking about it since 2015, so the odds would tell us for you stat
guys.
We
got a cool poster, though.
That is the thing from the 1940s.
It's from about 19 – let me think a minute. About 1967, 68, something like that. I was a young tyke.
It's a long time
ago. And back in the day, of course, we didn't have computers and all that. You had like a magazine, and you'd see these things. They have like little pictures.
Right.
Posters.
Oh, I remember those because I went into the 80s and even the early 90s.
You order, you fill
Sports
out.
Sports Illustrated always had.
Yeah, fill out the coupon and mail them in a check, you know. And
for $2.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, I don't know, $2 maybe, $2 at the most. And, I mean, it's a nice picture of Dick Butkus. I mean, it is – it's cool. I like it.
What I liked about it –
the amazing part is it's still in existence that many years later.
It lasted that long. Yeah. The other thing I liked about it is you left it here in the studio last week, and I brought my daughter to the studio who's entering her teenage years. And I took great joy, and when she asked me, well, who is that? And I said, Dick Butkus. She giggled for 10 straight minutes at his name. I really enjoyed that. I wish I hadn't matured out of that demo.
Yeah. Well, see, that's the thing. Back in his era, even 15 years later, you said Dick Butkus. It wasn't giggling. It was like their eyes got bigger.
Like,
and they
like
just
in The
like,
Lion King when you say Mufasa, and they shiver. Yeah, yeah. But now she thought that was rather funny.
Yeah.
And then I thought it was funny because she thought it was funny. Then, yeah, Dick Butkus is kind of funny. I wouldn't say that to his face, but that is – what are we doing?
In fact, that came up in the show Modern Family. You know, the one son, you know, is the gay guy, and his partner's the chubby one, I guess. He was sitting in there with Al Bundy. I don't know what the name is in the show. But, of course, he was a football fan, and, of course, Al, you know, football. They're talking about Dick Butkus. So, of course, the son hears Dick Butkus and thinks they're making fun of their arrangement. Yeah. And he storms away, and they're, like, clueless. They have no idea what
to track that down. That sounds
It was funny.
How in the hell did we get there? Running back burning questions, Rick.
I don't know.
Yeah, it's bad.
Okay, I tell you what. There is a little bit of scuttlebutt coming out of Tampa. So I really think the burning.
Mark that one off. I had the same one.
The burning question. Peyton Barber, Ronald Jones.
I was excited about Ronald Jones about this time last year. He had that kind of hype going, and I had Ronald Jones shares all over the place. Then he's not even active the first couple of weeks. Peyton Barber gets, 80% of that team snaps last year? Now, he didn't do a whole hell of a lot with them, frankly, when you look at it. Bruce Arians has said, you know, that the competition's wide open. I don't know that I trust either one of these guys. I think, you know, Ronald Jones is going to get a fair opportunity this time around. But Peyton Barber, boy, he's just one of those guys that's always around and always taking carries, and the next guy they bring in is always going to be the guy, right? And then Peyton Barber just goes ahead and takes 75% of that work anyhow. I don't think either one I trust necessarily. I'd roster them both, but I'm not looking for anything from either one of them. But if I had to pick which one's going to finish ahead, I'm still going to go with Peyton Barber.
Yeah, and I think the reason that he's around, like you said, I mean, in your roundabout way, is I just think that he just has that complete skill set.
Right.
Decent blocker, good out of the backfield, catching passes whenever that happens. Ronald Jones, I really like. Boy, he reminds me of, I don't know, he's just like a little. Give him a crease and he's gone.
Right,
I mean, it's
right.
Just that burst of speed, but you have to do more than that. I mean, I love him as a change of pace from a Barber, but I'm like you. I think Barber is the main carrier because you call an audible if he has to pass block. I think he's more trustworthy that way, and he just seems to be a more complete player. Not saying Jones won't develop, and maybe he does take over more carries as the season progresses, but it was disappointing last year, and it's hard to throw a lot of these high expectations again this year.
And I just have to wonder, too. Now, you bring Bruce Arians in, that may change things. But when you look at the way Tampa Bay is built, and you look at who they are, you've got Mike Evans. You got Chris Godwin, who we all expect massive things for. You got a ton of talent at the tight end position. You got Jameis, who likes to fling it around the yard. I don't know that the running game is ever going to be a priority for Tampa Bay as they're structured right now. So if you're looking at your running game to which probably most teams at this point, but you're looking at your running game simply to set up your pass game, you're looking for a pass blocker, you're looking for a guy you can trust in all situations, when your real goal is to take a 7-step drop, close your eyes, and throw it as far as you can to Mike Evans, that favors a Peyton Barber. You know, it diminishes his value even. Say there was no Ronald Jones and we knew Peyton Barber as the RB1. I think he's still probably in the 20s if with that trust with him. How do you develop a guy like Freeman if – I just went completely blank there. Did you see that? I almost stroked out.
Yeah.
I said Freeman. It was Jones. That was the problem.
Like,
I know,
what are you talking
about, jumped
man?
Ahead to my next question.
Okay.
So now there's your preview for the next question. I'm going to have to edit that little pause out of there. That was embarrassing. but how are you going to develop a guy like Ronald Jones when Peyton – it's not what you want to do anyhow. Peyton Barber fits what you're trying. I just think the way Tampa Bay's constructed. Now, Arians could come in and blow everything up because God knows what they've done hasn't worked.
Well, one thing to remember. I mean, he wasn't the offensive coordinator then, but he was an assistant coach. Ronald Jones is kind of similar to Willie Parker, isn't he?
Feels like it. Yeah, that's right.
You know, they sure turned that guy into a 1,400 yard a year man. That's just something to put in the back of your little noggin when we're talking about Ronald Jones, I think, because Arians has that aptitude to maximize a guy like him. Oh okay I thought you were handing me something.
Okay, get over the mic. All right, the things got a little disjointed there for a minute, some problems in the control room, but I'm good now. All right, Rick. So as teased here previously, as I'm conflating running backs in the league, Philip Lindsay was one of the biggest surprises in fantasy football last season. I believe in PPR formats finished as RB8, if I'm not mistaken. Rick, you can clear that up if I'm wrong. All of a sudden this offseason, Royce Freeman, who I mentioned in the previous question, is getting a lot of traction in fantasy circles as Denver's lead back.
He was 13.
Okay. While Lindsay is being discussed as a pass catcher, or primary pass catcher, what's the deal? Do you buy this? Is it good for Lindsay? Is it bad for Lindsay? Do you buy Freeman? I don't know what to make of this.
I think you're going to see Royce Freeman – hot, you know, vulture carries away from him.
Well, certainly.
But I think it's still Lindsey's. He's still going to be the primary back. I don't know. What else can you say? I mean, I think that's the guy I'm targeting
right.
on Denver.
Yeah, I don't understand where all this Freeman love is coming from. Look, he's going to get a lot of carries. But I think this is fantastic news with Lindsey. They're splitting him out wide receiver a lot. Now, when I say that, every time I say that, I roll my eyes. How many running backs in the last 3 years have we talked Duke Johnson? There's always a guy in camp. They're splitting him out and they're putting him in the slot. They're splitting him out wide. They're going to do this. And then when the whistle blows for week one, it never happens. Nobody ever does. Why would you, when you have professional wide receivers, why would you spend an abundance of time putting professional running backs at wide receiver position? So I don't buy this. They're going to put them on the field together nonsense. We have heard that so many times. I'm not buying it. So while Royce Freeman's going to get plenty of carries, I believe that if not considered the primary running back, Philip Lindsay's going to be the primary ball handler for the Denver Broncos. He's going to catch a ton of passes. He's going to get plenty of handoffs. He just looks like that guy. Remember when you say this about Melvin Gordon when we and everybody else were sort of mocking him early in his career and the success wasn't there in terms of statistically, but you said, boy, you just watch him play, and it looks like he hits the line so hard, and he looks
right.
bigger, and he looks stronger, and he looks faster than anybody on that field. Philip Lindsay last year had success, but same thing, when you watch him run, it's just like, oh, my God, he is so much better than everybody else on this football field right now. Royce Freeman's going to get plenty of work, but at the end of the day, Philip Lindsay's going to be a top, 24. He's going to be in low-end RB1, high-end RB2, and Freeman will be just another guy. That's how I feel about this.
I think they're both going to be contributors to your fantasy teams, and I think Freeman's going to be worth having on your bench, especially if you're a Lindsay owner.
If Lindsay goes down, Freeman's going to touch the ball 35 times a game.
Well, exactly. I'm with you. It's Lindsay, but there's a lot of speculation out there that it's Freeman's gig. I mean, they actually have come out and said that if you're buying into Philip Lindsay, you're making a mistake.
Right. Yeah, that's the narrative right now, and I haven't heard a reason yet why that makes sense. I really haven't. Look, he may be your lead running back, but the league don't operate that way anymore, right? So he may come in, get the first two or three handoffs of the game, and then Philip Lindsay touches the ball the next 16 times. You know, I don't see it. This could be that occasion where I am dead wrong and Royce Freeman finishes his RB7 and I look like an idiot. But, man, I just don't see it. After watching Philip Lindsay play last season, after watching how he fit into that offense, I just don't see it. I don't see it at all.
I don't either. I'm with you. It's Philip Lindsay. And, my mind's blank. I was trying to bring up a point, but I need to reference someone, and I can't think of his name, so I'm just going to let it slide.
Oh,
but
right.
I think it's Philip Lindsay.
Very, very professional here. All right, you got another one, or you want me to go again?
Oh, I'm good. Well, we kind of hit on this one, so I'm just going to let this one slide. If we have to, we'll talk about it. But you got rid of that one. Okay, here's a good one here. We kind of touched on Freeman as a handcuff. In your mind, who is the better handcuff? Jalen Samuels, Ronald Jones, or Dante Foreman?
Foreman, and I don't even think it's close. Now, with the injury caveat, right? I mean, that's his problem.
Yeah.
If he stays healthy, I think he supplants Miller for that number one spot on that job. What is Lamar Miller, 46 years old at this point? I think the way Deshaun Watson plays, the things Foreman can do kind of in open space. Look, Miller's going to get – I think it's going to be very similar to how I feel this thing in Denver's going to go, right? You know, Miller will get plenty of handoffs, but there's going to be plenty of packages and plenty of plays and plenty of opportunities in open space for Foreman. So I'm not convinced that without a Lamar Miller injury, he's a standalone, RB3 type. Some folks think that. I'm not sure about that. But in terms of handcuff, you know, kind of the point with Ronald Jones was, even if he has the job, even if Peyton Barber has the job, I don't care about that either way. So if Barber goes down and it's Jones' job, fine, you want to have him on your roster, but he's nothing groundbreaking. And who was the other one? I don't even remember who the other one was.
Ronald Jones, Dante Foreman, Jalen Samuels.
Jalen Samuels. Again, same thing. If Connor goes down, he'll touch the ball a lot. But I think Benny Snell gets some work. They'll sign somebody who played for the Patriots 9 years ago like the Steelers always do. So I think on that list, it's Foreman pretty easily.
And I think you're so far off base. You're not even in the right stratosphere. Dante Foreman does not even have the number two position locked up. And he's not going to supplant Lamar Miller, who's 28. I mean, he's not
feels
young.
Feels like he's been in the league for 16 years.
Seems like he's you know, Frank Gore's cousin. But you're right.
Well, he might be.
But, no, I think it's Jalen Samuels. And I think it's not so much that that I think that Benny Snell wouldn't get a lot of work, especially if something happens to Connor. But Jalen Samuels' stats last year, pass catching and so forth, way up there. And they're going to use him even if Connor's not hurt. I think Jalen Samuels is much more valuable handcuff than either one of those two guys.
Well, I might not have answered the right question. So if by handcuff, if you mean if I own Lamar Miller, if I own James Conner, if I own Peyton Barber, who am I going to handcuff them with? Probably Samuels would be the top of that list. But as far as a guy owning a hand, we put those guys in the handcuff basket, you know, and there's always a guy who likes to dress everybody's handcuffs and then try to trade them for their RB1 at halftime of week one. And that guy needs to be shot, by the way, but that guy exists in every single league. You know, if I'm just carrying around a handcuff, I think it's Foreman because I think he has the best and most opportunity, if he can stay off the trainer's table, to take that job over. So not only am I in the stratosphere, I am on point, I am on right, and you can zip it, Rick Briggs.
Not in a million years am I going to zip it talking to a buffoon like you.
Well, fair enough. All right. In the last week, Rick, Le'Veon Bell, your boy, has stated both that he is up for 500 touches this season and issued an apology to fantasy owners for being unavailable in 2018. As if, look, sorry, I got off the wrong exit. Sorry, I wasn't there, but I'm here now. Let me make this right. Basically, he's ready to roll full steam ahead this year. I think we know what his ceiling is, right? What's Le'Veon Bell's floor?
Floor? You know, that's an interesting question because when you think about Le'Veon Bell, you're not thinking floors.
Right.
Really. I mean, any of those guys, Zeke, you know, Kamara, you're really not thinking floors. Right? I mean, you're thinking, okay, this is an
elite
back.
Not with Le'Veon Bell before. That's the point. I think there is a floor now. Or isn't there? That could be your answer.
I don't think so. I think this Jet team is – I think there's a lot of people sleeping, number one, on the Jets and sleeping on a lot of the skill positions on the Jets. Sam Darnold, one of them. I think he makes a huge leap this year from last year in fantasy and as a player, which I guess they both coincide. Robbie Anderson, I look big things for him. If he can just realize he's not Jerry Rice yet. I'm still Robbie Anderson. I need to make my own career. He's got enough weapons. And with Le'Veon Bell there, you don't have this muddled running back position at all. It is Le'Veon Bell. And I think that the Jets, solid second place in this division. They got a good enough defense to really give anybody problems. And Le'Veon, the floor, I don't even think of a floor with Le'Veon Bell, even switching to a different offense.
All right, let me ask you this.
All right.
Is there anything in this world you consider yourself elite at? And I won't argue with you, so you can say whatever you want. Anything in this world you consider yourself elite at?
Obviously not, because I'm a poor slob that, you know, really hasn't achieved much of anything in life.
Fair enough. I really just asked that question to get that answer. Now we can get
back
to
it. No, I will take it back. You know what? Because I'm so proud of my children, I think I'll give more of my credit to my wife being a good parent.
All right, she's not listening to this. Just say it. Come on. All right, so I'm with you. So you're an elite dad.
I don't know about that.
So if Yeah, that example doesn't fit. So let's – no. All right. So if you took out of the last 2 years,
okay,
you took over 50% of the expected time you were to be a father away. If you were traveling, if you had yourself a side piece and you were out there all the time, whatever you were doing. When you came back 2 years later missing over 50% of what you needed to be doing, are you still going to be elite?
Well, obviously, that's totally different. We're talking about a 25-year-old guy that can get in shape and stay in shape and run a football. He has
missed, Rick, over 50%, and not due to injury.
But think about another. Think about it another way. Think about it another way. He didn't spend the last year or 2 years, whatever. He hasn't spent that time with the Pittsburgh playbook pounding in his head, learning that. There's nothing really to be confused about. This is all new offense. He's been studying in the offseason, he says, since he signed a contract. Maybe I'm more optimistic than you are, but let's face it, when he was with Pittsburgh and played, what was he? He was an elite back.
No.
I'm looking for a lot of the same. Maybe not the as huge in numbers, especially in the first year with Pittsburgh, with New York. But if he stays healthy, he's top five. That's elite.
In December of last year, as always happens to us, something come up. We had to suspend operations at the asylum.
What doesn't come up?
And we didn't bring it back till May. I ask you, Rick, go back to those first couple shows in May. They were pathetic. Anytime, maybe he gets to it at some point of the season. What I'm saying is he missed all of last year. He held out for a portion of the year prior to that. Look, I get the argument he didn't take the beating. I get the argument, everything you said. I'm just thinking, boy, when you're that elite at something and you've been doing it every day since you were, 6, 7, 8 years old, then you essentially take a year and a half to go on a world tour, marijuana smoking stripper hanging out with tour around the country. I'm not sure you just come back and be great. And furthermore, everything you said about the New York Jets is right. There's one problem. They're the New York Jets. That's a vortex of suck, just like Cleveland was for that many years, that no matter what you bring in there, within an hour and a half, it turns to crap. It's the reverse Midas touch, right? Everything they touch turns to crap. I think there is a deep, deep floor for this. I really do. I could see this being a freaking disaster.
Well, time will tell. Now, what year was it that he was suspended? Was that 2016?
It was a few years back. It could have been, yeah.
Because he was injured his first year and missed like 3 games. Then he played a full season. 2015, he only played 6 games, but I don't remember. That wasn't due to suspension, obviously.
Was that the suspension, played well, and got hurt late, right before the playoffs? Was that 15?
It could have been. That's I'm just trying to see. But every year that he's played, he's performed. And I don't know, maybe I'm just higher on him than I should be. But
pun intended, higher on him.
All right. Yeah, okay. You're wrong again, so there you have it. It's great.
It's a wonder you can even form words.
Do we have plenty of time? Or?
Oh, no. I think we're in OT right now.
All right. Well, then I'm going to give you a little history lesson.
Oh, all right. We're going to wrap her up.
Because we don't go anywhere without making people broaden their horizons.
Oh, okay.
Teaching football. Do you know what happened on August 21st, 1986?
August 21st, 19.
Now, you were alive.
Yeah, that was in my lifetime. I'd have been, 9 years old, to turn 10. No, 8, about to turn 9, actually.
What year were you born?
1977.
Yeah, okay.
See, I can math, Rick. I can math.
You can cipher.
I do not know what happened on August 21st, 1986.
Well, Lake Nyos in Cameroon.
Oh, okay.
Actually exploded.
Wait, the lake exploded?
In what has to be one of the strangest things to happen to humanity, a limnic eruption.
Limnic.
Limnic. This phenomenon occurs when carbon dioxide suddenly explodes from deep lake water, suffocating humans, livestock, and wildlife. When the explosion occurred in Lake Nyos, a geyser of water shot out of the lake, reaching a height of 300 feet. A small tsunami formed that rushed over the land, followed by a carbon dioxide blast that asphyxiated people up to 15 miles away.
What, Ethel's sitting on the porch having her morning coffee and just gets choked to death by a lake? What the hell?
Scientists, what causes this? Scientists believe limnic explosions are caused by magma pockets under lakes, which leak and cause carbonic acid to form. Degassing tubes were installed in Lake Nyos to allow the gas to leak at a safe rate.
We need a couple of those in the studio.
And hopefully prevent any future eruptions, which I would love to have no more future eruptions from Mr. Flager.
Yeah, we need a couple of those degassing tubes here.
15 miles away.
So magma, does that imply like there's a volcano under the lake or something?
Well, yeah, obviously.
That's insanity. It just blows. I don't understand the carbon dioxide. That's like nuclear bomb type of stuff there.
Yeah. Let's face it.
Like, I don't have enough to be scared of. No, you worry about lakes blowing up.
Well, when it comes to nature, I mean, what are we? We can't do anything about
it. Well, that's true.
I mean, if the Earth sooner or later wants to kill us, it will. It's just a matter of time.
Well,
and
I'm nervous because Lake Arthur isn't but, what, maybe 5 or 6 miles the back end of it from right here.
Yeah.
Right now I got to worry about that.
Yeah, but it's man-made. I don't really think it's that deep. Yeah. You don't really think you had to worry about magma pockets.
Well, I'm going to call my local congressman and see if we can get a couple of them degassing tubes put in there.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Maybe we can get some of the leftovers, like I said, for the studio. All right, Rick, you done?
I'm done.
I'm exhausted. Let's get out of here. So thanks so much for joining us. Check us out always, of course, AsylumFantasyFootball.com, at AsylumFootball, AsylumFootball@gmail.com. Check out everything over at Full Time Fantasy, FullTimeFantasy.com, at Full Time Fantasy. Keeps getting longer, Rick. Till next time, we'll see you.
Take care.